Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Snap is back. Nick Foles going to arch it down the right sideline, up in the air for Allen Robinson. Grips the football for the touchdown. Heck of a catch over the right corner on the far side of the field, and he makes the grab for six.
Call me old fashioned, you know. Like, literally, like, I mean it. Call me old-fashioned. That's my new nickname.
I didn't come here for a haircut, you know what I mean?
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
Joe Ostrowski, nights on 670 The Score.
Yeah, everyone has a price. Everyone. And I'm going to overreact, because I did last night after the game one of the World Series, and I'm thinking, oh, you know what? Boy, this could be a runaway on the LA side. I hope that does not happen. Maybe we can get a series going here with a Rays win this evening. Welcome on in, Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Changing things up a bit this evening. I'm here till 8 o'clock. At 8, we'll have a Bears replay. Bears at the Panthers. Here's my tip. Take the Bears on the money line and the under. And if you can find that available, please let me know where I can bet this bookie, this person, whatever it is. Please pass that along. That's my tip of the day, betting tip of the day. There you go. A lot I want to get into. White Sox stuff is popping back up. Not positive as far as I'm concerned. You know, I can't find anyone that is on board with this. Or maybe they're just worried about being shouted down, because that's been happening a whole lot. A lot of people, White Sox Nation, very upset about the possibility of Tony La Russa. But I would have thought at this time, the story would be squashed. Or, okay, interview done. It's not going to happen. That's not occurring. That's what's concerning me. Every day, this continues to linger. And we do have an update. I'll get to that in just a second. In about 20 minutes, we'll check in with Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times on the Chicago Bears. You heard that clip there of Allen Robinson with the media today. No, seriously, call me old-fashioned. That's what he wants. He wants to be called old-fashioned. That's his nickname. That's what he really wants. I'll go in on it. I don't think it's going to stick. I don't think it's all that marketable. But okay, A-Rob, whatever you want. I'm willing to pay you. The general manager of the Bears is not willing to pay you. It's funny, because now I'm starting to see some people in the Bears fan base say, well, you know what? He does have some drops. He turns some passes into interceptable balls, because that's happened a couple of times. Stop. Stop. There's a very good chance that he's the best receiver you've seen in your lifetime as a Bears fan. There's a decent chance of that. Or he's top two. And I think he will go down as the best that I've ever seen. And I'm old, man. I've been watching this team a long, long time. You need wide receivers in 2020. You know what? He's going to mess up the cap. No. You need to fix the offense. Stop. It's not about old school running back linebackers. Get that strong defense. That's not what the great teams are doing. Pay attention, please. I know the Bears are racking up some regular season wins doing it the old school way with some defense. But it's tough to do year after year. We saw that last year. Great defense in 2018. A couple things go wrong. Not so much in 2019. Good, not great. And then all of a sudden, they're a 500 team. Anyways, that's my little rant on the Bears so far. But the Sox are the team that's really, really bugging me right now. And it's not like they did anything. It's not. It's just this La Russa story is lingering and lingering. And we're waiting for a Bears game to occur on Monday. So this kind of takes center stage. I was hoping the 76-year-old manager story taking over for an exciting young team that is ready to win now and ready to not only make the postseason but to make a deep run. I thought it was just going to kind of float away. And, you know, paying close attention to how this team operates, how Jerry Reinsdorf has operated over the years, that's why I think there's a possibility. And I kind of, in some ways, I expect it to happen. So I will be pleasantly surprised if it does not happen. And then I talk myself into believing that it's okay. Well, he has been in the game, Arizona, Boston, LA Angels. If they do hire him, I won't love it. But he would still be an upgrade over Rick Renteria. We did see a couple of managers, Snicker and Dusty, and in recent seasons, Joe Maddon, be very successful. Guys very old, senior citizens, might have the blue hair under there. You never knew with Joe, because he would always dye it. Maybe there are other issues going on that we don't want to know about, and we'll find out at some point in our lives. Oh, he's doing it, favor for a friend, okay. Okay, we'll see. I never bought that one. That's something we're hearing a lot of people. It's just a favor. It's just a favor. My whole point on that is, favor, one of his best friends in the game, you go tell your boss you're not hiring one of his best friends. That's what bothers me. That's why I'm concerned. And we know how they operate. Is it really Hans' decision? That's something we don't know. We're not sure. We hope it is, but is it really? If it's Hans' decision, he's not going to be here. But I don't think anybody really realizes that's what it is. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of checking myself today because my initial thoughts were about the people, the crowd that says managers don't matter. Go grab a Yankee fan. Go tell them that Boone doesn't matter the way he managed in the postseason. Talk to a Rays backer or a fan about what Cash did last night. And tell me managers don't matter. You can't say they don't matter or it's like a game a year or two games, but then also say, oh, you can't hire La Russa. You can't hire this old guy. You're going to go backwards as an organization. I wouldn't love it. I don't think it would be taking five steps back. Not a top 10 hire. Certainly not top five, not a top 10 hire for me. I could easily name 10 guys I'd rather have as a White Sox skipper. And I do think the manager matters, especially right now when season is on the line and we scrutinize every move in the postseason. But it's that Jerry factor. That's where I'm stuck. That's where I just can't say, oh, it's a nothing. It doesn't matter. He's Paulie Cicero, man. Whatever he wants goes. Maybe it's his last big move as owner of the White Sox. And he's envisioned Tony La Russa winning a championship with this young team. If that's happened, it's done. And Han would have to go to his boss and say, I don't want your guy, if a favor is being done. That's not easy. Can't be easy for Rick Han. He's in the circle of trust, man. So I'm conflicted here. I don't think it would crush the organization. If La Russa is the manager in 2021, I fully expect them to be in the postseason. Mike Rankin, my executive producer tonight, also the editor-in-chief, Future Sox, so big Sox guy. Mike, here's another point where I'm at with this thing. So if they go get one of the top 5 to 10 available people for the job to be the manager, I'm 100% most likely going to place a wager on the White Sox to win the World Series in 2021. I will, no doubt, I will not place a wager on the White Sox to win the World Series next season if they announce that La Russa is going to be the manager, because I'm just awaiting that senior moment at some point in the playoffs.
So that's what's holding you back, Joe, from committing to this team filled with talent, and you're getting
No, I'm committed, man. I'm committed. I fully believe they will win a championship in the near future. But if La Russa is the hire, I'm probably not going to back them with my own money.
I don't blame you there, only because there are so many questions that you have when La Russa's name got brought up in the first place. Where did it come from? Well, most likely the man who runs the show on the south side of Chicago is Jerry Reinsdorf, because how else can you explain it? Now, and I'm not into conspiracy theories here, but it's very hard to disprove the fact that, like, because we're not attached to, we're not talking to them directly, so we can't really, we're just hearing from the experts.
And even if we did, why would they tell us the truth of what's happening behind the scenes?
So, you know, I've heard multiple times that, okay, you want to deflect the attention away from possibly bringing in an A.J. Hinch who has the baggage attached, just, you know, because you're focused so much on not wanting La Russa. Now, it's hard to disprove that, but I just can't get myself to commit, right, to that thinking that this is a part of it. And when La Russa is now a part of the conversation, where is the argument that says he is the fit to take on what is happening on the south side with the group that they have right now?
I have so many questions. If he is the hire,
Who's
bringing in the bench coach? Who is the bench coach? How are the analytics involved? Because that's the reason you moved on from Rick Renteria. Do you agree with me that even though it is not an ideal hire, in fact, it's pretty poor, there are a lot of better options out there. Do you agree with me that he would still be an upgrade over Renteria?
Absolutely. And also, yes, he would be an upgrade over Renteria, for sure.
That's how they sell it.
I wonder, too.
Most of them are happy.
I wonder, too,
because
Joe.
Because Jerry's happy.
Yeah, right. If they give La Russa the job, that'll be like, okay, we have our candidates. You know, there are a lot of qualified candidates internally to fill the rest of the roles on the pitching on the staff, especially the pitching coach, right? Because that's the immediate vacancy. So we're looking at,
Duncan,
like, how much power does the manager coming into this situation have in sort of reorganizing the whole picture here, you know? And maybe if La Russa and the front office are buddy-buddy, then that's perfect. It's the perfect formula.
We're asking for a lot. If we expect Tony La Russa, the Hall of Famer, to come in with everything he's accomplished in his career and to be the robot manager and do whatever the White Sox brass says and let the real decisions be made by the bench coach, which has all the analytics and all that stuff, I think that's a big ask. Now, that is a question that I still have. Okay, how else are you going to fill out this coaching staff? What else would you do? Is he truly just going to be the guy that handles the daily media duties before and after the game, other interviews, and kind of be a face of the team, take a little bit of the pressure off of the players to talk to the media on a constant basis? I have a hard time believing that he would be willing to do that, but maybe he would. Maybe he would for his friend Jerry. Maybe he wants to get back in the game that much. Maybe. And it's also, so we saw this, I know it's a different sport, Mike, but we saw this in Dallas too, in the NFL. So Mike McCarthy said what he had to say to get the job. And if you're watching these Cowboys games, if you watched Monday night, he is clearly not following the analytics at all, but he said the buzzwords in the interview and good old Jerry hired him. He might say what he has to say to get back in the game to be a manager for the first time in 9-10 years or whatever it is, but then he might not follow through with that once the games are being played.
And let's make it clear that Mike McCarthy is just a guy. I don't even see him as a head coach. He is just a guy running a football team.
He won a championship.
True.
But yes.
True. Okay. And when I look at Tony La Russa here at the White Sox, I think he has adapted, slowly but surely, he's adapted to the modern game. He wouldn't be in the position in the executive places that he's been, most recently with the Angels in Arizona and the Boston Red Sox, without adapting to the modern game. Now,
yes.
I'm not saying that he's incapable of going through with a lot of the things that he may be preaching in terms of analytics and keeping up with the style of today's game, But there are other managers more qualified and more advanced in that area. If you're seriously taking that into account here, look at the broad picture. If La Russa's the guy who says, okay, he's the veteran, he's passionate, and the fire never left, he can manage a clubhouse, he gets along with his players, players play well for him, that's great. Those are all words. But so are the other candidates, right? So are the other candidates who have the analytical experience.
I feel the frustration of a lot of Sox fans. And if this goes down, you shouldn't be surprised. You have every right to be upset because of this fact. Once again, they're doing it right. The rebuild, the great trades that Rick Hahn was able to pull off, and the talents here, they've already added in free agency, and we expect that to do them to do that again. Maybe not, you know, with the lack of revenue being generated by the 2020 baseball season. That'll be fascinating to monitor for all of baseball. But I feel the frustration from Sox fans because you've done all this. Why not get the best man for the job? And while La Russa may be an upgrade over Renteria, and then ownership is happy because his friend's there and he's getting a lot of praise and he's back in the game, why not get the best man for the job? Why not? Why not get every possible advantage that you could possibly happen when the window has just cracked open for the White Sox to bring a championship back to the South Side? That's what I don't understand. And that's why Sox fans should be mad if this goes down. Why aren't you getting the best person for the job?
You nailed it.
Why is it about friendships, relationships over the years, and doing a favor for a person? Go get the best person.
That's
go get
all it.
It
is, Joe. I mean,
managers still matter.
There are more qualified candidates. Don't get your guy. Get the right guy.
Yeah, exactly. But they like to be comfortable. They like to hook people up. Once you're in the circle, you're in the circle for life, man. That's it. Joe Ostrowski with you. Sports Radio 670, The Score. Thanks for hanging out on this Wednesday evening. I'm here till 8 o'clock. Mike, let's go back to this morning. If you were up in the 6 a.m. hour, you may have heard Bruce Levine on the Mully and Haas show. And our guy, Bruce Levine, confirmed that the White Sox have talked to Tony La Russa about being manager of the White Sox.
From my understanding, yes, they have. And they, meaning Rick Hahn and likely Kenny Williams. Rick Hahn, you know, the general manager. Kenny Williams, the executive vice president. So this is, you know, from what I'm told, they have. And, you know, the interest seems to be there on both sides. Now, as to protocol Major League Baseball, you must interview other people, okay? And you must interview other minorities. I guess you would consider Tony La Russa being a minority, but that's not going to be enough. I think there's other people that they have or will interview. And obviously during the World Series, Major League Baseball does not allow you to announce a manager. So this process will probably go after October 28th. And if it is indeed after October 28th, I think it'll be soon after that. I think the White Sox probably have in mind what they want to do. And La Russa being asked or saying yes, so those are the two final situations that you would have to wait for here.
Our Bruce Levine confirming that the White Sox have talked to La Russa. What are they waiting for after the World Series? Well, they can't talk to Hinch and Cora yet. They can't. If that's what they have in mind, if that's what Bruce is alluding to, the reason we haven't heard about those rumors because it can't happen yet. Now, what Layla Rahim is bringing up with Dan Bernstein earlier today, and she's 100% correct. Well, where are the other names? Is it La Russa, Hinch, Cora, and that's the list? I highly doubt it. Where are the other names? Why is nobody else being brought to the forefront? Nobody. Why, if it's not real, if it's a courtesy interview, a favor for a pal, why is it being shot down? Why? The White Sox have every right to be concerned. Every right. My mind, managers still matter. And if they don't complain. If you've been saying, if you're a Sox fan, you've been saying managers don't matter, you're fine with Renteria or whatever the replacement, I don't care. I don't want to hear you complain if it's Tony La Russa. because they don't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just about the players. If they're watching these games, and I'm not saying they're the most important thing on a team. At times it feels like that in the postseason, especially if they do something really dumb. Really, really dumb. That can cost you a game, which can end your season. I mean, I don't know how you watch these games and think that they don't matter, how the management of the bullpen don't matter. What were many Sox fans, what were the Sox front office upset about? The way Rick Renteria handled the bullpen in the last game of the season. That's why he's gone. That's why they're going to bring in somebody else, because of how the season ended. And one wrong move, the season can end like that. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I was hoping this was going to die. It's not going away. Sox have talked to La Russa. Hope there's not a follow-up. I mean, you have all the La Russa information, man. The owner's friends with him. What else do you need to find out about La Russa? Maybe it's where can we meet in the middle if you're the guy? Can we bring in the bench coach? Can we bring in all the developmental guys? We want the option to hire everybody on the staff. Will you pay attention to our data? That was an issue with Renteria. He would look at it, but not put it into action during these games. Maybe that's what they're talking about. But they don't need any loose information. They have all the loose information that they need. All right, we're going to switch to some Bears. Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times is going to drop by. And we're going to talk some big picture stuff and also take a look at Bears-Rams coming up this Monday night. This is a Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score, and the Radio.com app.
We've got the Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score, with you till 8 o'clock this evening. And let's talk some Bears with our buddy Pat Finley over at the Sun-Times. Pat joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Follow Pat on Twitter by his full name, at Patrick Finley. Find his fine work, suntimes.com. And check out the Hallis Intrigue podcast. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm good, Joe. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on the show. I'd like to mention that I always enjoy looking at the odds. And let's start here. What did you think the odds would be that we'd be sitting here middle of the week, October 21st, the Bears benched Trubisky weeks ago. They have a 5-1 record, second best in the conference, and they still have a terrible offense.
I thought maybe if they were lucky, maybe they could be 4-2, maybe. But you figured that that would only be done with a great defense and in a stout run game. And, you know, the first couple of weeks that kind of looked like the direction they were going to end up going. And then they benched Trubisky and their defense isn't quite as special as maybe we thought it would be. You know, the last 2 weeks, I think the defense has been really good and has reminded me finally of 2018. It's not just the record. It's how they've gotten to this point that is just unbelievable.
On the defense, I've seen that comp thrown out over the last couple of days, and it's certainly fair. Takeaways a big difference. Any other big differences that stand out?
They haven't played anybody. I think that helps. I mean, when you look at, you know, the Lions without Kenny Galladay, the Falcons without Julio Jones, you know, the Giants, you know, when Saquon Barkley – in a horrifying way, gets hurt, you know, at the end of the first quarter. The Bears defense has beaten up on some teams that are probably worthy of beating up on. But, you know, you look at what they did against the Bucs, and that gives you hope against teams like the Saints and the Rams and the Titans, who are in a much different weight class than a lot of the teams the Bears have been doing well against defensively.
Yeah, sticking with a couple of the big picture things for just a few more minutes here, there was a lot of wondering about what's going on with Pace and Nagy and their job security. What was going to happen in Matt Nagy's third season? You go from 12-4 to 8-8. Now which way are you going to go? What would have to happen for here on out for Pace and or Nagy for us to have questions at the end of the season?
I think they'd have to miss the playoffs, and that would be a double whammy now, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be, you know, I thought they'd be 8-8, something like that. So if they end up 8-8, maybe that's not that different than what we all thought they were. But, you know, to get there from here, it's going to have to be a pretty bad 2.5 months. And I think the only way the Bears really struggle down the stretch and miss the playoffs as if their offense just can never get out of the muck. And then you've got a couple of questions. You know, one is, you know, does making the playoffs once in his career justify keeping Ryan Pace around? And the other one is if Matt Nagy, you know, this offensive mind who you bring in, still after, you know, three seasons, doesn't seem like the proper architect of a modern passing attack. You know, do you really want him around? I think it would take a pretty big choke job to get to that point. I think both of them are probably safe. But, you know, if the Bears are at 8-8 on, you know, New Year's Day, it will be because something went terribly wrong. And if that's the case, I think, you know, those things have to be on the table.
We don't hear from George a ton. It's not like with good old Jerry out down in Dallas. So it's tough to get a gauge there. But from the outside, it seems like he really likes both guys. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think he does. And what's interesting about Nagy, and I mean this as a compliment, they hired somebody who had never even really been in charge of people before, you know, with the hopes that he would be a great offensive mind and a good leader. What he's turned out to be is a really good leader, a great leader, and an okay offensive mind. So in a sense, they answered, you know, the tough question, but the easy one, which is, hey, can you be a middle of the pack or better offense? We still haven't figured out. I know that they like Ryan Pace. I know that they believe in the direction that Ryan Pace has taken them. But then you get into the muck of if they miss the playoffs, you know, they're let's say they have the 18th pick in the draft, 16th pick in the draft, something like that. Do you want those guys to pick your next quarterback? Mm-hmm. I mean, that complicates things even more. And, you know, I think you could argue that you'd rather Matt Nagy have a voice in picking your next quarterback than Ryan Pace, given that Ryan Pace has signed Mike Glennon and drafted Mitch Trubisky. And if this thing goes sideways, I'm not sure Nick Foles would be a positive in his direction either.
That's something I think a lot of people have thought about recently. What you just said about Nagy being a great leader of men, and maybe he is a really, really good head coach, and then we're sitting here year three, have a lot of questions about the offense. There are cases that we've seen over the years, you know, of course, guys like Billick come to mind, where the side of the ball, they come in to help. It doesn't quite work out, but they end up winning a lot of football games. And Matt Nagy's won a lot of football games so far.
You know, if you ask me my personal opinion, I think he's a good football coach. I think the Bears could do a lot worse than having him around for the next 5 years. Nagy went out of his way on Monday to say the team's record over and over and over again. He said, we're 5-1. I'm excited to be 5-1. I think he said 5-1 five times, six times, something like that. You know, you look at what his career record is. I mean, he's, what, 10 games over 500 in 2.5 seasons in the regular season? That's really good. That's the best the Bears have ever had. And I think that, like I said, short of a collapse, I think he and Pace are fine. Chicago being what Chicago is and Bears fans being what they are, I think a lot of times people worry more about the collapse than they do enjoy the moment. And right now they're 5-1.
Yeah, I could certainly understand that. Not a whole lot of winning over the last number of decades here in Chicago on the football end. Joe Ostrowski with Pat Finley of the Sun-Times Sports Radio 670, the score. On the Ryan Pace side, it's early. But I've got to say, it looks like he's had a strong 2020 offseason. Whether or not it was Nagy pushing for Foles or the entire coaching staff, he went out and he traded for Nick Foles. And right now, Andy Dalton looked terrible in front of the country on Monday, even though he doesn't have much of an offensive line. Cam Newton's offense hasn't been able to score much. Jalen Johnson looks like a good rookie. He's making an impact immediately. And maybe they have a player on the outside with Mooney.
Yeah, I mean, the draft looks good. To me, I mean, the two big questions of his offseason, I thought, were Jimmy Graham and Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham, I think, has more than lived up to, he's exceeded what I thought he would be.
Yep.
It looks like he's still got some juice left, particularly in the red zone, and I think that that's important when you look at the other weapons the Bears have. Jimmy Graham seems like a net positive right now, and Nick Foles, is he streaky? Yes. Does he have this knack of throwing interceptions that get dropped by the other team? Yes. Is he your long-term answer at quarterback? Absolutely not. But he's been about as good as I think they could have hoped at this point. Those two things, you know, even without the draft picks, I mean, you're right, the draft picks have been good, but those two guys right there are probably enough to justify Ryan Pace's offseason. To me, and that's not even mentioning Robert Quinn, the guy who the Bears spent the most money on. You know, I think there's another level he can go to. But, you know, once he got his feet underneath him physically, I think he's looked like he's worth it as well.
Yeah, Graham already has more touchdowns than he had in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers each of the last two seasons. So I feel like this is a narrative that's been out there for years now. Well, the offense can't get worse. That's one of the reasons the Bears have a lot of upside. Were you buying into what Nick Foles was saying in his speech to the members of the media after Sunday's victory? Do you expect this offense to improve as long as they stay relatively healthy?
What's the phrase? A dead cat bounce? You know that phrase?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I expect it to improve. I think their blocking needs to get better, and nobody wants to, you know, listen to the radio and have get into a deep conversation about left guard play. that's not sexy, but it's true. And when you look at some of the worst plays that the Bears had on Sunday, I mean, Nick Foles' interception, that was a horrible throw. He should have put that ball into the stands. But you know what? When he threw it, the four closest people to him were Panthers defensive linemen. The Panthers rushed four against five Bears blockers, and all four got home on the quarterback. That's damning of the line. You know, the first and goal at the half-yard line, in which, you know, they actually move backwards, that's damning of the line. That needs to get better. I mean, to me, that is problem number one. If they can fix that, this offense can be okay. David Montgomery is impressive to me. Even though I know he hasn't in a year and a half really had a breakout game that's made him look like a star, I like the way he runs, and I think he fits the scheme that the Bears have. I think Foles will only get more familiar with the guys around him, and that will help the offense too. So will it get better? Yes, but that is such a low bar to clear that I'm not sure that means a whole heck of a lot.
Let's talk about the opposite end of the spectrum in this defense. How much are they missing Eddie Goldman?
They are considerably. You knew it. You saw it in the first quarter of the first game, and it really hasn't changed. There are guys like Brent Urban, Roy Robertson-Harris, Mario Edwards has been impressive to me. But those guys have been, I think, better against the pass than they've been against the run. But you know what? You look at everybody else on that defense, and they're really holding up. They're as good as you remember, and they're healthy. And, you know, in this year's NFL, you know, the Bears have played – six games, and they've lost zero defensive players that matter. Really, I mean, what, Deion Bush is probably the best defensive player they've had sit out a game. I guess Robert Quinn missed the first game of the season. But that's about it. So the health is there. The performance is there. And, you know, they're dangerous. I'm not sure they were dangerous last year. You know, Eddie Jackson's had two touchdowns taken away by a penalty. That still shows up on film when other teams look at it. I mean, that's still something that Jared Goff's going to have to keep in the back of his mind on Monday night. I think that's a formula you can win with, is, you know, have the defense keep you close and the offense do just enough.
All right, the reason they're winning games, we know it's the defense, but a couple things that really stand out to everybody watching any Bears football is the red zone defense, number one in the NFL, third down defense, number two. Is that sustainable for the rest of the year?
I think a top five performance in both categories is probably sustainable throughout the year, and that should be enough to win you some games and to keep you around. I remember talking to Chuck Pagano, I think week one or week two, when they were really getting gashed for a lot of yards. And he said, you know, it's funny, you know, we're not good at the yards, but in every special situation, whether it's red zone, whether it's third down, whether it's sudden change, you know, after a turnover, we're amazing. And they are. And, you know, that shows you the veterans that they have. You know, Khalil Mack somehow doesn't get talked about enough. He has been the last couple weeks, I think, better than he was at any point last year. He just looks healthier and looks better. And you add Quinn and you add Hicks. I mean, Akeem Hicks at this time last year was, you know, on the sideline with a dislocated elbow for another 2 months. You know, having him out there for a full season is really, really important to them. I hate to keep getting back to this, but I think the formula of trying to win every game 21-16 may work, or it'll certainly work good enough to get them to the playoffs, provided that the defense keeps doing what they're doing.
Joe Ostrowski with Pat Finley, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Pat, I know you you had the chance to speak to a few players today. Schedule thrown all over the place because everything pushed back with the Monday night game coming up against the Rams. But which players did you hear from, and what was notable for the audience?
We heard from Cairo Santos. We heard from Allen Robinson. We heard from Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson, of course, didn't think that the PI call against him was actually PI. And I didn't either, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure I know what pass interference is anymore. It certainly was frustrating to the Bears, who had other reasons to be upset on Sunday, whether it was the Kyle Fuller hit or the Eddie Jackson touchdown. Both got taken away. Allen Robinson said something that maybe amuses only me, but he said at some point, he said, you know, call me old fashioned. And then he stopped and said, you know, actually, for real, why don't you call me old fashioned? That can be my nickname. So I'm not sure that that'll stick. It is, an old fashioned is the most delicious of the bourbon drinks for, you know, in my opinion, at least. I don't know how you turn that into a football nickname, but it might be fun to try. And then Cairo Santos was really interesting. He was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week this week after he made a 55-yard field goal, which was a career high, and two more field goals in the win against the Panthers. And, you know, he talked about, you know, he was a kid who grew up in Brazil. And, you know, he was an exchange student in St. Augustine, Florida, because he wanted to play soccer in America. And, you know, just messing around with his friends and his host family, you know, they were kind of clowning him for not being able to throw a football. You know, he said, you know, why would he know how to throw a football? He grew up in Brazil. And they kind of said, hey, let's see how far you can kick it. And he kicked it and it landed four houses down the street. And they went, oh, we may have something here. And, you know, by the end of the week, he was kicking for his high school football team. He made a 50-yard field goal in practice the first day of practice after literally not knowing the rules of football. That's interesting. That's fun off-day fare for guys like me. But it's also a good reminder that, you know, we talk about the journey that Santos has had from being, you know, a pretty good kicker for the Chiefs for a while, and then playing for five teams in 3 years, never really finding a home. You know, that journey didn't really, you know, it didn't start there. You know, it started when he was 15 and literally rented a Madden video game to teach him what four downs were and what a field goal was and what a punt was, stuff like that. And that was kind of cool to hear. And you can just tell with Santos that, especially given what he's gone through the last couple of years, he really does appreciate the special teams award. And he appreciates, I think, having a home here for as long as the Bears will have him.
Pat, love A-Rob, but that nickname will not stick. And you mentioned the bourbon, the old-fashioned donut. That works too. Maybe that was on his mind. It's unbelievable with some Bears fans, and you deal with them all the time as well. So Pro Football Focus put out a tweet yesterday talking about A-Rob, like number one in targets in the league with 65. And according to the way they chart it, he has zero drops. And the first thing you see is it's either pay the man, what is Ryan Pace doing? And I needled him on that a little bit as well. Or it's just, let's go 180 degrees. Let's go the other way and say, well, I don't know what they're doing. How are they even tracking this? I saw that tip ball and it was intercepted because of him. Why are they counting that as a drop?
He has three catches that he turned into interceptions,
right,
in the course of four games. Yeah, I mean, they got to pay him. And, you know, I think that's important when you look at this roster, when you wonder, you know, does anybody else on this roster have the potential to be a number one option at receiver? And I don't think that's the case. I think Mooney and Miller have roles, but that's, you know, is secondary or tertiary guys. Also, you know, look back at the Bears' history. I mean, the Bears are in no position to look down their nose at a number one receiver. I mean, Chicago just discovered the forward pass, what, 20 years ago, probably. But, you know, I mean, he's better than Alshon Jeffrey ever was, I think.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure he's as good as peak Brandon Marshall, but Brandon Marshall came with a lot of stuff that A-Rob doesn't have. A-Rob is as respected as anybody in the locker room. He is an adult in the best sense of the word. And if you don't reward him, if you don't reward the guy who does it the right way, whose teammates love him, and who is your best offensive player by double, probably, what is the point of functioning as a franchise if you can't reward those guys?
All right, I'll call him old-fashioned. You convince me. I'll do it. Pat, let's close with a little baseball. Game two of the World Series tonight. As a big Padres fan, are you all in on anything that's not the Dodgers, meaning let's go Rays tonight and get into this series?
Yeah, we're just rooting for chaos at this point. Okay. It would take a minor miracle for it to be a series. But you know what? When I looked up at the lineups yesterday and I saw Hunter Renfro hitting cleanup in game one of the World Series and Manny Margot hitting fifth in game one of the World Series, I had to pick myself up off the floor. I'm happy for those guys, but nothing they did as Padres led me to think that this was in the cards.
Sox fans are listening, saying, shut up, Pat. Shut up.
Hey, I'm sure, James Shields, I'm sure James Shields is doing something lovely on night one of the World Series too at his house somewhere. But.
Check out Patrick Finley's work, suntimes.com, at Patrick Finley on Twitter. Pat, thanks for coming on The Score tonight.
Anytime, Joe. Thank you so much.
Joe Ostrowski with you on The Score. Coming up next, an interesting possible Bears note. Maybe a nice addition to the offensive line that they could do in the middle of the season. I'll give you the details next. Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score, and the Radio.com app.
Joe Ostrowski, nights on 670 The Score.
Pay attention to the name Quentin Spain. Here's what happened. He's an offensive lineman for the Bills, or at least he was. He used to be their starting guard. 7 months ago, they signed him to a three-year, $15 million extension, and he was cut by the Bills today. Signed that extension in March. But when you look at some of the details in that contract, a bunch of opt-outs after the first year, so is it a big deal? He was replaced in the starting lineup. You see the headline, and people are questioning, like, wait, what is going on there? They have this what appeared to be early on in the season, a high-powered offense. Why are they getting rid of a starting guard? Well, he's not a starting guard. He lost his job. Cody Ford and Brian Winters are starting guards. Ford was drafted as a tackle. He moved to guard. And Spain, I mean, they just signed him to a big deal. And during the pandemic, apparently he was working out. It wasn't something where he was getting lazy. He just lost a job. He did not allow a sack in 16 games in 2019. He would be a massive upgrade over what the Bears have right now, and you would think this would be an appealing situation since they are 5-1 in the NFC, the weaker conference of the two. So I would think that Spain, if the Bears are interested, he would definitely want to come here. So keep an eye on that name. And if he goes somewhere else, if you want to rant and rave, want to be upset about it, I'm okay with that. Because they have to address the offensive line in some form. And for some reason, we go draft after draft after draft. And Ryan Pace's idea of addressing the offensive line is throwing a flyer like a 6th or 7th round draft pick. That's not going to get it done. If you want to commit, if you really want to improve that line, do it. We complain about no run game. Why is there no run game? Because they don't have an offensive line that can block it up. So keep an eye out on Quentin Spain. I expect him to sign soon. Lost his job in Buffalo, but he would be a big upgrade for what the Bears have right now. Why couldn't they run against the Panthers? One of the worst run defenses in the NFL? Because of the offensive line. We all know that. They tried, but there's absolutely no blocking up front. None. We say offense, but if we're getting specific, biggest weakness of the team is probably the O-line. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. A few other things I want to get into in the 7 o'clock hour relating to the Bears and Matt Nagy and where he is in the hierarchy of coaches in year three. It's not that bad. It is not that bad. We'll also get into some Big Ten college football. It starts in 2 days, people. Are you ready? Some NFL notes I also want to address. Joe O on 670, The Score, in the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.